Peter B. Collins News and Comment, Friday, May 11th.
I want a marriage like they had in the Bible, like they had in the Bible, like they had in the Bible. Want a marriage like they had in the Bible, because the Bible tells it so. Now Abraham and Sarah had a marriage, but she could not bear him a kid. So Sarah gave Abraham a slave girl, and pretty soon they did it, and she did, Lord, Lord. Yeah, pretty soon they did it, and they did it, and they did it, and they did it, and she did. Now I know slavery was banned, but a woman should be free to give a slave girl to her husband. I want a marriage.
Day three of Obama's reversal of position on marriage equality. He partied with George Clooney in Hollywood last night, netted about $15 million from the California ATM for his campaign this fall. And that was Roy Zimmerman, by the way, who was not at George Clooney's party, as best I know. That's from his latest CD called You're Getting Sleepy. Catch his tunes at royzimmerman.com. But the point is well taken here, a marriage like the one they had in the Bible. And the Christianists, the evangelicals in this country, are having a hard time responding to Obama's shift in position. And, of course, part of the problem is that marriage itself doesn't live up to the biblical standard, even if we leave out barren wives of biblical figures. And when these people talk about marriages only between one man and one woman, they never say one time, that was in the Bible, till death do us part. And so it is interesting to see them scramble to respond to what was apparently an accidental change. And I may have to eat a few words here, but earlier this week, I speculated that this was a carefully considered and carefully analyzed move on the part of the Obama White House. But then why would Joe Biden, in an Oval Office meeting on Wednesday, apologize to the president for getting a little too far out front? Well, maybe that was staged, maybe not. But I report it to you because it does conflict with the presumption I made, and you're entitled to consider that and make up your mind yourselves. I also think that while it's fair to say that Obama stated his personal opinion and did not launch a crusade for same-sex marriage or for marriage equality rights, that this will put more pressure on him as president for many of the efforts that can be managed internally. For example, related to discrimination against gays, lesbians, transgender, and bisexual individuals. And when it comes to government contractors, it appears that the administration can impose terms on them to require them not to discriminate. So the president may have more latitude here, and it'll be interesting to see just how far he goes in trying to implement the view that he has now embraced. And meanwhile, over in the House of Representatives, they're doing a lot of things just for show. But one thing they did is responding to the president's change in position. Rachel Maddow reported on Thursday night that there were two amendments added to a defense budget bill that basically allow discrimination against gays and lesbians. And so the right-wing nuts are not going to take this lying down, and they will be sending dog whistle signals to many of their supporters about ways that they can try to fight back and basically try to stem this rising tide of equality and simple justice. Because gays are people. And under our Constitution, no matter what kind of people you are, you're entitled to equal rights. And I don't see any way that long-term the reactionary right and its radical activists will be able to stop this. After all, it didn't come from an activist judge this time. And in Argentina, 2 years ago, this is a very Catholic country in South America, 2 years ago they legalized same-sex marriage. Thousands of same-sex couples have married. And the next step? Argentina now considers sex change surgery to be a right. And this was embraced by a gender identity law that was passed by a vote of 55-0 in the Argentine Senate. Hey, if you really want to mess with Rick Santorum, tell him about Argentina. One final note about this new discussion about gender equality and marriage rights in this country. I noted a very delicate discussion on the public television news hour on Thursday evening. And they directed us at the end of this discussion to the PBS NewsHour website to look at a map where they said the gay marriage issue resonates. Resonates is their euphemism for where the bigots are. Yeah, gay marriage issues resonate with bigots, with narrow-minded people who want to maintain a status quo that is just clearly unjust on the face of it. And I just want to ding the NewsHour because I understand they're always under attack for being part of the non-existent liberal media, and there are always threats from the right to cut their funding. But when I hear bullshit, I'm sorry. I feel an obligation to point it out, and I hope you can appreciate that. In our in-depth interview released today at peterbcollins.com, Mary Boyle, Vice President for Communications at Common Cause, talks about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, this group that writes prefab right-wing legislation and gets friendly legislators who are often members of this corporate-sponsored group, ALEC, to submit it and pass it in state legislatures. And in our discussion with Mary Boyle, we go into some detail about Chris Christie and the state of New Jersey, which appears to be a poster child for ALEC and the passage of its proposed legislation. Here's an excerpt from my conversation with Mary Boyle about Common Cause and a filing they made this week with the IRS challenging ALEC.
Well, Common Cause filed a whistleblower complaint against ALEC, which is to say that we have accused them of basically flouting federal tax laws. They say that they're a tax-exempt charity, which means you can only do a limited amount of lobbying. We say basically all they do is lobby. They send talking points to lawmakers. They provide issue alerts. Their whole kind of mission is to write legislation and get it passed in state houses. And that certainly looks and smells a lot like lobbying to us.
And in the tax returns that a nonprofit is required to file, don't they have to certify that they are not doing lobbying work, particularly if they're listed as a 501c3 under the IRS code?
That's exactly right. They check a box, and in that box, ALEC checks that it does absolutely no lobbying.
Mm-hmm. Subscribers can hear the full interview right now at peterbcollins.com, and it's coupled with a conversation with the co-author of a new book about the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And the co-authors have done a great job of investigating the role that right-wing extremist groups, the Klan, and related organizations played in the various plots that were hatched to kill Dr. King. And questions remain about to what extent James Earl Ray was a patsy in that enterprise. You can hear it all at peterbcollins.com. And if you're not a subscriber, I encourage you to sign up. Our bonus book deal, a free signed copy of Hank Albarelli's book, A Terrible Mistake, which reveals the CIA's MK-Ultra and other programs from the Cold War era, where they used biological weapons and drugs like LSD as weapons and experimented on humans. It is quite a book, and it can be yours free. The details are online at peterbcollins.com. Well, I'm continuing to evaluate the story that surfaced at the beginning of this week about the alleged second attempt to send a guy with a bomb in his underpants on a plane into the United States. And the more we learn about this, the more we see that it is a total concoction of the CIA in cahoots with Saudi intelligence officials. Because I misspoke, as you may have recalled, and I corrected my error, because I inaccurately reported that the man who allegedly created the crotch bomb was actually the guy who was going to be the suicide bomber to wear it. And the reason I made that mistake was that in the day one iteration of the story, it didn't report exactly who was going to strap this on his genitals and ride an airplane and blow it up. Well, it turns out that that guy was a double agent, a mole. And the Independent of London reports that he is a British national. Now, he was recruited by Saudi intelligence. He was, let's see, UK intelligence were said to have been heavily involved in recruiting the spy who infiltrated a terror group in Yemen in a rare coup for Western agencies. Sources briefed by Saudi counterterrorism officials said the individual grew up in Europe, where he was apparently radicalized. Then he was turned, recruited by Saudi agents last year. Then he showed up in Yemen, saying, "Give me a bomb for my underwear. Give me a bomb for my underwear. I want to go commit jihad and kill myself as I, send a message to the United States." Well, it was all concocted. It was a trick to get Al-Qaeda to serve up their latest version of an underwear bomb. And they did. Now, up to that point, I can accept this as good spy versus spy. Remember the old cartoons from Mad Magazine? There's no honor among spies. And so, you know, you can suspend moral judgment up to a point. But now, this entirely fictional plot is being played as something that was real, and therefore, new debate about airport security. Daryl Carlarm Issa, a California congressman, Republican from the southern part of the state, and he runs the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He brought in Stephen Lord, Director of Homeland Security for the Government Accountability Office, and said, "Hey, would the Chertoff scanners, these body scanners that we've deployed at our airports, would it have detected the new and improved Al-Qaeda underwear bomb?" Stephen Lord said, "Well, that's a very interesting question, and I'd have great difficulty answering it in open session." And ISA said, "Okay, well, we'll take it into a classified session. But I'm going to predict that the answer is no, they couldn't." And what this will lead to is members of both parties demanding an even greater a presence of airport security based on a phony plot that originated at the CIA with help from Saudi intelligence. This is the world we live in, a hall of mirrors where nothing is really based on fact. The threat levels are concocted. And part and parcel of this, Robert Mueller, the guy whose term at the as head of the FBI was supposed to expire last year, and nobody was ever supposed to serve more than 10 years in that job again. He was extended for two more years. He was back at Congress asking for more money for FBI counterterrorism efforts and more authority like the Patriot Act. And at the risk of really annoying you, I'm going to remind you once again that this is all based on lies, on fiction created by our intelligence agencies, and one part of their agenda is self-serving, to stay in business, to have a raison d'etre, and to have the budgets so that they can spend like drunken sailors all around the world. It is so unbelievable. John Edwards is about to see what the jury thinks of the case against him. He was John Kerry's vice presidential candidate, was running for president in 2008. And I have an interesting sidebar for you. One of the people who surfaced and testified at the trial in Greensboro, North Carolina this week, Jennifer Palmieri. I don't know Jennifer well, but she was my contact at the Edwards campaign. And I called her repeatedly when I had a syndicated radio show in 2007, 2008, saying, hey, give me John Edwards. Give him to me before the California primary. And she would tell me she wanted to do it, but he would not agree to appear in any state except Iowa at the time because of his laser focus on winning the Iowa caucuses. Well, Jennifer Palmieri, at John Edwards' request, arranged an interview on ABC's Nightline where John Edwards lied about fathering a baby with Riel Hunter. They played the tape of that interview at the trial. And, of course, John Edwards is not going to take the stand in his own defense, and he's not going to take the stand after that lie, set of lies, was introduced into evidence. But fundamentally, what we have here is the exposure of a major dick. I'm sorry if my language offends you, ladies, but that's what John Edwards has been revealed to be. A guy who thinks with his penis, a man who believed that his own lies would get him through with his wife and with the American public, and that the National Enquirer wasn't going to find out. And that arrogance is incomparable. And I don't have any sympathy for John Edwards. Now, I don't think he's suffered enough or anything like that, but the case against him is bogus. He didn't convert campaign contributions into hush money. He got Bunny Mellon and other rich people to pay the hush money. It didn't go through the campaign. It wasn't a campaign function. And with the exception of some money that was paid to Riel Hunter for videos that she allegedly produced, the hush money channels were all outside the campaign. Maybe that was a brilliant dodge constructed by this incredible trial lawyer, John Edwards. Or maybe he's just able to take advantage of the fact that that's how it happened. But after the incriminating ABC tape was played in the courtroom, and at the end of the prosecution proceedings, they have rested, Edwards, according to the New York Times, turned to his attorney, Abby Lowell, and said, that's their case. Well, we'll see how all that turns out. A few minutes ago, I referenced the meaningless moves in the House of Representatives. They're busy cutting $310 billion yesterday out of food stamp programs, Meals on Wheels, and child abuse prevention programs. And it's not going to take effect. These are not real. The Senate will not permit them to be passed. But I want to point out a couple of things. The Republicans are cutting Democratic programs in an effort to avoid cutting the Pentagon budget, as the parties agreed to in the ridiculous deficit reduction deals that were cut last summer. What you need to understand is the Democrats don't want to cut defense spending either. They just want to take the money from the wealthy and from Republican-favored programs, not from their own. And we really need to face the music and cut defense spending. That's the best way to reduce the deficit. That discussion will not be taking place in Washington anytime soon. As thousands of Britons took to the streets to oppose austerity measures, that was austerity measures, I tried to say, Greece continues rudderless without a government. And there's a great op-ed published in Friday's San Francisco Chronicle by Joel Brinkley, the former New York Times editor and correspondent who teaches journalism at Stanford University and was a guest on our podcast a few months back. And Brinkley, who is a very careful and polite guy who came out of the tradition of the New York Times, minces no words about austerity. And whether it's being imposed on European governments or here in the United States, well, Joel Brinkley gets it right. He says, none of these people seem capable of explaining in plain, simple language why imposing austerity now is utterly foolhardy. In fact, just plain stupid. Here's what it means in clear, unambiguous language. Under austerity plans, governments must radically reduce their spending. How do they do that? They buy fewer goods and reduce government services. And as he points out, the ripple effect is quite clear and predictable. Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan reports, oops, we lost $2 billion trading derivatives. And these are the shitty deals that Senator Carl Levin talked about in Senate hearings last year. And it just begs for an end to the unregulated cowboy mentality on Wall Street. And the limited re-regulation under the new Dodd-Frank law is just step one. We need Glass-Steagall to be reimposed, and we need true enforcement by the Securities Exchange Commission and other agencies. And they've been gutted. And even if you pass a law, there isn't really anybody there, no cops to go out and enforce them. Quick reference to a story of relating to a gentleman in New York City named Carl Vanderwood. He was misidentified as a suspect who had been accused of four incidents of groping women in New York. And the New York Times published a surveillance photo of him and an actual picture of this guy. Well, let me say that again. They published a surveillance photo of the unknown suspect and a picture of Carl Vanderwood, and they are strikingly similar. But he has solid alibis that prove that he couldn't have been in the groping locations when those events occurred. And the police department has apologized and released him after he spent some time in jail and was slimed by the local tabloid media. And I mention this for two reasons. One is that I have long been an advocate for innocent people convicted of crimes, and it happens far too often. And eyewitness misidentification is one of the prime methods of wrongful convictions being won. Secondly, I'm really offended by a commercial that's currently running for the Dish TV, the satellite TV network, because in an effort to be clever and amusing, they spin a little story about a guy who gets wrongfully convicted and then comes back and burns down the house of his lawyer. And in this little commercial drama, they're saying that the lawyer was distracted because his cable wasn't working properly at home. Now, I understand that this is just a cute little story. But to take the case of someone wrongfully convicted and trivialize it, and then turn it into a joke that a wrongfully convicted person will get buffed up in prison and then come out and burn down the house of the person who wronged him, it's just offensive on every level. And maybe it's selling subscriptions to Dish TV, but it won't work on me. Time magazine drawing a lot of controversy, just what they wanted, for a cover picture of a young mother. She's a beautiful woman, age 26. Her nearly four-year-old son is sucking at her breast. And it was intended to spark controversy and conversation about breastfeeding and how old your kid should be before you stop. And frankly, it's just disgusting to see how much media time is being spent on getting people's reactions to this contrived controversy. And I've just run down for you a number of important stories: gay marriage, Alec, the underwear bomber, airport security, the phony cuts proposed by the House, the meaninglessness of austerity budgets. And all that gets pushed aside. So television and talk radio and newspapers can wring their hands over the decision that editors at Time magazine made to publish a certain picture. And it just shows where we have gone as a nation, and how trivial distractions are presented to us at a time when there's so many important issues to chew on. And here's one more case for you. Entrapment television is back, posing as reality TV and alleged journalism. There is a new reality show called Bait Car. Undercover cops park a rigged car on the side of the road. They leave the keys in it and the engine running, and wait for some schlub to come by and drive it off. And this is only news because in one of these televised segments, the cop who made the arrest, Detective Anthony Shapiro, said under oath that he had read this suspect his Miranda rights, when in fact the video showed that he hadn't. He kind of made a glancing reference. He said, "You watch TV, you know your rights and all that, huh?" That's not the same as "you have the right to remain silent and anything you say could be used against you." And this follows on the very successful and disgusting series on NBC called To Catch a Predator, which was only discredited when its tall and hirsute host got caught betting young babes, despite the fact that he's married. And he's the family values guy who used to go in and shame these poor suspects who had been entrapped by some item on Craigslist or in a chat room saying, "Hey, I'm 14, come on over and let's have sex." And when you couple this with the contrived controversy over the Time magazine cover and reality TV shows where they have to create crimes and find people who are so low that anybody watching can feel superior to them. Well, Chris Hansen was the guy on NBC, and I hope we've seen the last of him. And maybe this will dispatch a bad show like Bait Car. Unfortunately, I'm just daydreaming again. You know Hollywood has even worse up its sleeves. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and visit me at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.